The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, dear listeners, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And yeah, it's a very important day in Namibian democracy, especially when everybody is preparing to go and vote for their local and regional authority councillors. And yeah, we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. Wherever you are, we are greeting you, and it's a very, very beautiful morning. And, yeah, as we always do, this is Early Morning Scoop. This is a platform that we speak about global affairs. This is a platform that we speak about, economic affairs. This is a platform that we speak about, issues that affect our bread and butter. And, it's quite, very important also to start your day with a positive mindset. It's very important to start your day with, positive mindset, because without a positive mind, there is no way that you are going to achieve anything. And like I'm always indicating to you, do not let anyone to make sure that he or she disturb your peace. Make sure that you start your day with a positive mindset, and that is the only way that you'll be able to achieve anything. Yeah, and it's quite very important also to make sure that, you have your voters' card. Make sure that it's ready. And that is a tool that you need to use, especially in a democratic, process. And make sure that, when you are going to vote, you are also taking your family members. Make sure that you don't leave anybody at home, particularly those who have voters' card, those who are going to assist you. And what I'm seeing around, especially when I wake up this morning, the elders are already at the forefront, and they want to make their democratic choices, because, at the end of the day, it's the Namibia that you want. It's the Namibia that you want. Those are our respected people that we are going to put on those seats for the next 5 years to lead our constituency, and also to lead our town council, municipality, village councils, and they are going to be decision makers that will affect bread and butter issue. They are going to be decision makers that will affect how service is going to be delivered within our constituency, within our cities, towns, and village councillors, within, our areas. That's why it's very important to make sure that we respect and we exercise our democratic rights. Because when you look at states that have developed through democratic process, they made sure that priority number one is make sure that you have effective leadership, and you also have understanding citizens who understand the role of their constituency councillors, the role of their village councillors, and also town councillors, and also understand the process of decision making, so that at the end of the day, it's not only about complaining, but understanding too who to complain to, who has responsibility, who is doing his job, and who is, need assistance. Because at the end of the day, that of who you put, or that of who people have elected, is that who is going to be your leader. Because we have bigger things to achieve. We have national priorities. We have, regional priorities. And indeed, we also have continental priorities, such as Agenda 2063. And yeah, today, like any other day, today we are going to speak about bread and butter issue, particularly from a diplomatic point of view, and also to see where Africa is going, where Namibia is going, where my region is going, where my constituency is going. That's why we are always indicating to you to say an informed mind and an understanding mind, and also a mind that understand what need to be done, when and how. That is going to be a mind that is going to assist in terms of development. So where are you? Where are you? And also, where are you voting? And also, what is the situation out there at areas that you are at? And let us avoid, breaking the laws, especially during this democratic process, because Namibia, we have a track record, like we have a track record of peace, we have a track record of stability, and we have a track record of a non-violent society, and maintaining that will be a very strong point to start with, particularly when you want to deliver on our development objective. And also put in mind that the aspect of monitoring and evaluation, let us not only be active during election process, let us also be active in engaging those who we are putting in power to make sure that we assist them, we give them advice, and also we make sure that we keep them in check, because if you understand, you also force that of who is leading you to be able to be on top of his game to make sure that things are delivered on time and also development is pursued. Because, you know, we only have around 4 days before December, and after that, 2026 is coming, and Vision 2030 is around the corner. And like I'm always indicating to say, life will not end at Vision 2030. There is a long way to go. That's why we must also be a long-term thinker. We must be able to think beyond 5 years and also see to say, the decision I'm making today, how is going this decision going to affect my children? How is this decision going to affect the future? What am I doing for my country? And also, what am I doing for the history of Namibia? Because history is being written every day, and is being shaped by decisions that we are making every day, every minute. And also, remember that you are not the same person that you were last year. You are not the same person that you were yesterday, because every morning that you are waking, every morning that you are waking up, you are 8 hours older than you have been. And that is how growth is. Make right choice and make sure that you exercise your democratic right. So before we go to what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world, and indeed what is happening in Namibia, let's go to a very short commercial break. Then we look at what do we have, particularly at Early Morning Scoop. We are here until the hour of 8, and it's also very important to make sure that you engage us, you give your opinions and views, especially at our line 083-288-401, 083-288-401.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa Nune udo otukwetira o special ange Tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa Ninge kwa tafano na monika ko Eagle FM Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu matatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are progressing with Early Morning Scoop. Progressing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Let us start with Tanzania. Let us start with Tanzania. You know, there was no news in Tanzania. It's indicating that Tanzania cancelled, you know, Independence Day celebration after call for protest, particularly when opposition leaders are organizing, or they were organizing protest on Independence Day that was meant for the 9th of December. And it was stated that the authority decided that there would be no more Independence Day, stated that Tanzania has cancelled Independence Day celebration next month after call for protest over mass killings during recent contest poll. And Prime Minister Mwigulu Nchemba said that, you know, on Monday, and the preparations are held, there will be no more, you know, celebration of Independence Day, particularly in the history. It will be different, particularly when you look at the history of Tanzania being the champion of democracy all those years and being at the center of liberation struggle. And those who went into exile, they are always referencing Tanganyika because it was the center of liberation. It was the center of Pan-Africanism too. But when you look at what things are happening, it's indicating that, you know, opposition leaders, you know, proposing the day of independence that was supposed to be on the 9th of December every year to organize protests. But for security reasons, President and also the authority indicated that there will be no more Independence Day. Now, this announcement came after opposition and other call for people to gather on independence and also protest over, you know, killings that took place in the disputed elections. You understand that, you know, the 29th of October go down in the history of Tanzania. It's one of the most contested, but also one of the most, you know, in the dark history of Tanzania, where, you know, it had been stated that over 1,000 people have been killed. But there is debates about statistics that is unconfirmed because opposition leaders are saying, you know, more than 100,000 people died, but there is no clear statistics. And the election that I've seen, the standing or the winning of the current president, President Samia Suluhu Hassan, who won with 98% of the votes, and it's one of the most contested. And you can also be able to look at, the report from African Union Observers Mission, which indicated that the election was not based on international standard, and there is room for, you know, improvement which is needed. But looking at the development, it has also been indicated that, you know, the president of Tanzania has also called for reconciliation and also called for, you know, release of some of the protesters who were arrested, some were, you know, charged with treason. And looking at development, and one of the things that also was stated is that this may affect international support and fundings, and the country has to come together and look at the future. And we'll look at how things are happening now without Independence Day celebration. You'll be able to say that the nation has not yet healed, but those are the development in that side of Tanzania. And also let us hope things will turn out the right way, because peace and stability in Africa must be priority number one, whatever the situation happen, and also to learn to say what is need to be done, particularly in terms of democratic process, what is need to be done to make sure that institutions of democracy, institutions of the state are protected, and also to make sure that people of Africa, they focus on main challenge, not to fight themselves, because we cannot afford to continue fighting ourselves, where other continents are speaking about climate, where other continents are speaking about innovation, other continents are speaking about how to integrate the new technology in their education system, where other continents are speaking about smart trains and also smart drones. We cannot afford to continue fighting ourselves, because, you know, when Africa was getting independence, people were so together to say, let us get our independence. But after that, when you look at things which is happening in Tanzania, look at Nigeria, you look at Madagascar, previously, you look at Mozambique and many other countries, you'll be able to see that, you know, some of these things which are happening or internal conflict, look at the DRC, the richest country in the world and poorest in terms of human development, we're able to realize that there is much which need to be done, particularly in the areas of peace and stability. And also when you listen to the when you listen to the speech of the Secretary General of United Nations, is to say there must be more money, there must be more fundings from international community to make sure that African Union peacekeeping missions and security is supported. And also what the Secretary General has stated, especially in Angola, is that you know, when it comes to Africa, there must be support from international community to make sure that they redress past injustice, particularly colonialism. We may debate to say colonialism has also a role to play, but we also have a role to play, particularly in the current, you know, Africa that we want, and also not to compromise the goal that the founding fathers of Africa have put in place, such as Agenda 2063 and the beautiful African Continental Free Trade Area, where Africa is aiming to become global competitive by making sure that the first trade internally is boosted, and also value addition to its natural resources is prioritized. Let us look at the news of Tanzania and also move forward, particularly when we speak about democracy, when we speak about institution of democracy, and also when you speak about the future of African leadership and governance, and what lesson can we learn from this? Because at the end of the day, let us not only look at the challenge and leave it there. Let us also see what lesson can we learn from there. What do we need to do better? And also, what can be done to make sure that African children, African elders, women are protected, and also they are participating fully in economic development and the boosting of African trade. So, let's look at Tanzania and move forward.
Tanzania has cancelled Independence Day celebrations next month after calls for protest over mass killings during recent contested polls. The funds meant for the event on December 9th will instead be spent on rebuilding infrastructure damage in last month's election unrest, according to Prime Minister Mwigulu Nchemba. This announcement comes as the opposition and others have been calling for people to gather on Independence Day to protest the killings that took place after the disputed general election. President Samia Suluhu Hassan won the poll with 98% of the vote, but opposition parties rejected the results as completely fabricated and not genuine. Hassan's main rivals were also either jailed or disqualified. Thousands of people took to the streets to denounce the election. Tanzanian authorities cracked down on protesters in a move rights groups denounce as violent and repressive. The opposition believes hundreds of people were killed during the protests. The government has yet to give a death toll and has set up a commission of inquiry, but opposition parties have expressed concern over the independence of this body. Nchemba on Monday also called for Tanzanians to avoid violence and engage in political dialogue.
Yeah, that is what's happening. That's what's happening. That's the end of Tanzania. Let us move forward and also look at what is happening, especially in Nigeria. It was stated that the World Food Program, sent sound alarm as Nigeria braced for severe hunger in 2026, due to you know, militia activities, which is happening especially the side of northern Niger state. It was stated that you know, the attack by militia across northern Nigeria is driving hunger to the level never seen before, and is expected to result of the worst level of food insecurity in Africa next year. That is according to World Food Program report that was released recently. You may be able to understand that, you know, there's a lot going on in Nigeria. There's a lot going on in Nigeria, particularly where you have armed militia, who are abducting people. And recent records indicated that over 315 people were abducted, especially school children. Speak about teachers. You also speak about priests, pastors. And you also be able to realize that, you know, on Sunday, the Pope indicating that these people must be released immediately, and authorities must be able to work together to make sure that, you know, those who are abducted are brought at home. And, you know, these are things that have been discussed. These are things that African leaders must push, especially when it's coming to corporations. And we're also asking to say, are we able, as Africans, are we able to solve our internal conflict? Are we able to deal with security corporations? Are we able to protect the people? Because the person who suffer most, especially in the time of conflict, is women and children. Is women and children, because as men, by nature of things, biological makeup and how things are, you know, when the house is burning, the man is only taking a suitcase and jump through the window. But a woman has to make sure that she has to go and look under the bed. Where are my children? Where are my children? And also, where are the food? So that she can escape with her children. And that's why in most cases, war-torn countries, when you look at the reports, when you visit refugee camps, you'll be able to realize that those who suffer most is women and children. Because some men, they join either militia or they join the forces, but those who do not have protection are women. Imagine a pregnant woman with two kids. How do you expect her to run from militia? And that's why we are saying, for us to move forward, we must address this issue. And it's an issue of concern not only in Nigeria, but also in SADC region, especially when you speak about terrorism. Speak about terrorism is no more just in the Middle East, how it has been presented. It's no more in the Northern Africa. It's no more in the Arab countries, but it's everywhere. That's why when it comes to issues of terror, especially religious-backed terrorism, this is something that need to be fought tooth and nail. And if it's not addressed, it will compromise the African developmental agenda, to compromise plans that we want. Remember, when you speak about, for example, trade, we don't only speak about trade when we analyze international trade statistics to say this is trade at a state level, but it's also trade that also involve businesses, people who are within a certain country. So let's look at the caller and see what he or she has. Good morning.
Yes, morning,
David. Yes, morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Are you going to vote?
Yeah, I'm going to vote. And I went already there, and apparently they are opening at 6-7.
You were supposed to be there until you cast your vote. You must not leave.
No, I said I went there, but very soon, because it's not at 7. I think 7 they will allow the party agents, and they go in.
Yeah.
They do their preparation. It seems to be very slow, because I only found two people there around 5.
Mm.
5:30 there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And all along, and then I went, so I have to do some four important things. Can you imagine if you want to be there just standing and missing this kind of program?
It's a democratic process.
Democratic process. You know, the way you just reminded me how you used to sing.
Yeah.
From one of this, one of my mentor teacher, late Egyptian Kawewa, he's so rest in peace. And that's the when we were taught under the tree.
Oh.
Now, under the tree.
Okay.
Now, he used to sing that, I just want to say power, power to the people of Tanzania, Tanzania, Zambia, Angola, So you see, when you listen to this history, very good history indeed.
Yeah.
And like you said yesterday, the leaders are meeting in Angola, and we have heard of the speech that you gave the presentation. So now this is the same language that they were speaking. They are all in harmony. They are all in common. Especially when it comes to now security.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the president, minister of in the presidency of President Ramaphosa.
Mm.
So she mentioned when she was now highlighting all their calendars that they need to do, because they need to do a lot of things.
Mm.
Remember, Namibia is so good in terms of negotiation. Despite our capacity, perhaps, that we have the ability, we are able.
Mm-hmm.
We are saying, because you asked the question, are we able to solve our internal conflict, this war?
Yeah.
This thing?
Mm.
And remember,
mm.
and I do not understand, honestly, I don't know how you are going. Maybe for you, you are able to advise me as to how do we regulate the activities of the opposition parties all over in Africa.
Okay, what do you mean?
Is there a rule? Is there a law that is a binding that a law that's binding that can really regulate the our this stakeholder, because these are the people who can really promote democracy. But now, just look at I'm keep on referring to that exercise in South Africa, the one that's taking place now.
Yeah.
So those are internal conflicts. And who is causing this one?
What
are the root causes of those things? We have no...
May you kindly explain your point, especially when you speak about South Africa, because I'm losing you.
So listen. You started with us on these commissions that are going on there.
Oh, okay, commission, okay.
And these commissions, when you look at them, when you link the political dynamic within our Africa here.
Yeah.
And you have also heard it a long time ago when there was a point in South Africa where the President Ramaphosa said that we must address our internal conflict, our internal politics now.
Yeah.
In this context, that's where I want to draw your attention.
Mm.
Why is it always follow up? It's only the opposition party who are, whenever they lose election, they are the one who incite violence, just like what happened in South Africa.
Are you saying the elections in Tanzania was free and fair?
No, just let me, I'm not saying they're fair and fair. There were a lot of professors and analysts who are saying, yes, it couldn't be fair because already some people even demonstrate and riot already before the election starts.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. I know the election, whether they're fair or not, so the process, you were saying, I wish to hear from you, some of these opposition parties, they are arrested and they are done and what.
Yeah.
The other time you say they are released now.
No, imagine us go to play football, then you are wearing what sport shoes, and you tie one of my feet is not able to perform, and I also
you're causing chaotic social and political confusion. Chaotic. We have heard already people even before election.
Yeah.
Even here, people are announcing already we have won. We have won. Okay, so in Tanzania, maybe, you see, their own democracy is really democracy. So not the one that we play around here. So it is democracy that has got the roots in communism, socialism.
But now in this current world,
that is democracy. It's not, you cannot say it's not democracy.
It's democracy.
Because somebody has ruled for 2 years, for 5 years, more than 10 years.
Yeah.
It's still democracy.
Yeah.
Africa with its own characteristics. So I'm not saying that. My point here is that is there no regulations or law?
Yeah.
That we really help us to liberate, just like any other law, the national law, or domestic law, or constitution.
Yeah? Because if I have to refer you to the preliminary report by African Union observers mission to Tanzania.
Forget about that one.
No, we are speaking about the law.
Okay.
Yeah, then they have advice on constitutional reform. They also advised on when it comes to internal laws must be followed. That is why they say laws are there, but we don't follow them.
No, when the laws are there, do those laws, you see, like, just, I know, look at
Because national laws, they don't specify, because they make sure that everybody is equal before the law. Then you operate within that zone.
Yeah, but you see, we operate within that law, but you know already that your rights and freedom and all these things, they also have some remedy. So you will operate within that law, the conformity, in accordance with the law that's there. Are you now, when the laws are there, and your behaviors, your attitude, your conduct, are not in compliance with the law.
Yeah.
And then, like I say, many a times, all opposition parties, many a time.
Yeah.
Look at what was happening in South Africa. Look at the destruction. Where did it start? That's why we need
but
to...
Why can't we learn from Botswana? Because when people look at, for example, Duma Boko, they think he has Botswana. Been there. Yeah, listen from Botswana.
I don't want to, maybe in terms of economic, but there are political dynamics.
No, the political system, something happened, transition happened, there is no gun was fired. People, they move forward.
South Africa handled it very well.
What is your message to the young people of Namibia, especially today, which when it's a voting day and people are expected to go and cast their vote? What is your message to them?
I'll conclude with most of the political and economic and all those analysts who were commenting on Tanzania. And how their message to the young ones, I think, is relevant to our own situation now, what is happening now. So they were saying that for you to lead the youth, because they were many of them, they were saying, even our own commentators here, they were saying some of the youth were really misled, and they are still being misled. And they are saying they are in the one who are reading them now, perhaps is they say change, vote for change, regime change, what. They are inciting them. They are not giving the message the way it's supposed to be given in accordance with the law. That's why you see. So now you need to motivate them that this is their constitutional obligation. So not necessarily to fight against the uncle who is there. It is your constitutional right for you to participate and have your voice heard in terms of change. People are just saying change. But they are not changing their behavior to align their principles with the constitutional values. So that is my message.
Okay.
So let's make sure that we hold democracy. And all this governance structure, our institution, you say, they need to be protected. How are they infiltrated? And this internal conflict, they are also penetrating into our institution that we want to build.
The question is, what is the root cause of conflict?
It is you, because people, internal, outside, people who are trying to interfere much.
Okay. What make you vulnerable for interference? If you have a house, let me ask you this question. You have a house, and you are feeding your children, you are sending them to school, you have a very beautiful wife that you love so much, and everything is in order, and you are distributing the family wealth accordingly. Can a neighbor come and say your father is not a good father? Can a neighbor come and say no, your father is not your father? Can a neighbor come and say that? Is it not that, because most of the people who do this are the people, the poor, the frustrated, the the people who are not in the proletarian to say in that case.
That is an insult to our people's intelligence.
So
we are capitalizing on their poverty, on their equality. Well, you know already that you are the one who have caused this inequality.
Yeah.
Remember that was also a summit parallel where our former first lady went. And they had that meeting on equality, inequality.
Yeah.
South Africa and Namibia, because they are that one topping there. So you know that you are the one, the cause of those things, and you are the one who is now trying to incite violence and confusion in our countries. What is that you're going to help us?
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much, David, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for your input. Yeah, you know, it's a good conversation. It's a good conversation. And also, it's quite very important to look at issues and also analyze them, especially when you look at development, when you look at governance, when you look at politics, and also when you look at why do people do what they do. Because those who study, peace and conflicts, those who study conflict resolutions, they study the root cause of conflict. They study conflict zones. They look at the people. Ask yourself this question. Why should somebody leave grade 10 and join M23? Why should somebody leave Africa and die in the Mediterranean Sea? What is the problem at home? What can we do as Africans to make sure that? What can we do as those elected councillors, those elected leaders, to make sure that our people are taken care of? Can we go back and also look at what have we done apart from debating about policies the whole 5 years? What have we done for people, and what lesson have we learned that we are going to do differently? Because at the end of the day, when somebody is hungry, not all people who are and I'm not supporting criminals, but temptations is there. Temptations are there. People, they enter into criminal activities. But there are also things that we need to do well at home. Because if we continue blaming colonialism, if we continue blaming apartheid laws, if we have opportunity to pass laws within lawmaking houses, and we are not doing that, then who is fooling who? Because we can debate about this thing, but position must come with responsibility, and I'm urging everybody who is going to be elected to make sure that you go beyond party, because you are not, when you are at anywhere, you're not serving your party, you are serving the people who are out there. And this party politics in Africa are really putting us back. When you look at UK, when you look at the US, you can say whatever we can say about the US, but there is something that you can learn from the US, because they look at policy issues. They look at what can you do? What capacity do we have to make sure that you deliver the deliverables? And also, what is your understanding on current affairs? And also, how do you navigate through that? Because there's a lot of things, because the challenges that constituency council has faced in the past 5 years are not going to be the same challenges. Either going to be different, either going to be additional burden again, but how are you going to navigate that? And you can only navigate that if you have a mind of service, if you have a mind of, getting advice, and also a mind of understanding people, and also come to people to say, you said me this, I was not able to do this, what do you think I should do? This is my power, this is my limit. And that is the only way. So, the solutions to African problems are within Africans, and no one can come and solve our own problems. That's why when I was listening to the speech of the president of EU yesterday, particularly at the African Union and EU 7th annual summit in Angola, Luanda, you'll be able to see that EU is focused. They have their game plan. They don't only want to assist you, they also want to expand their trade. What do you expect from them? What can you do to make sure that you also position yourself to that level of development?
Because they are saying we are also, because if you read between the lines to say we are also willing to assist you in African continental free trade area so that you can compete globally. Not we are coming here to do that. We are also going to do that. But the main priority is to intensify trade. You can say, no, assist us with our security, but we must deal with our own security and peace. Because then they look at trade and they are very clear. And that is not a problem from an international point of view, because that is the interest to say we are very thankful about development of trade infrastructure, such as Robito Corridor. And the aim of Robito Corridor is to make sure that minerals from Zambia, Angola, DRC get to international market. Whether they get there as raw materials, that is not the business of EU. Our business is to make sure that, yes, we build infrastructure. But at least in this case, we are not going to send them as raw materials anymore. But we have to negotiate and say we are sending them as finished products. Because they are building infrastructure to boost trade from their point of view. But they are also, nobody can come and solve you. A person can come and advise you, but it's your own game. And that's why it's not the responsibility of only political leaders, but everybody to say, how can we assist ourselves? Because if you have now situation of hunger, which is projected in Nigeria, especially in those conflict zone, and remember that Namibia and Nigeria, they started boosting their trade game. They started boosting their trade game, especially on that binary commission that was held, I think at the beginning of this year. And you may also be able to realize that the first shipment of African Continental Free Trade Area is to Nigeria. What if situation continue like that? How is trade going to be? You are also affected. That's why peace and security must be priority and must be part of economic development. And I was actually very happy, especially when I attended public and private sector forum, and our IG, Inspector General of Namibian Police State, to say, no, I think peace must be included. I mean, security must be included in the economy, because it's also part of the economy. But one may also be able to think, to say, no, why an IG have to stand up and say like that? But when you look at it very well, you can't operate a full functioning institution of trade. You can operate a full manufacturing industry with connected logistical arrangements without peace and security. And you can't do business where people are running. We are doing business with who? How are we going to get your change if people are running? So that is the point of debate that must be there to make sure that there is stability, there is food, there is a basic needs of an individual before we do other things. Because other people, they come and trade with, they look at your inequality, but dealing with our inequality is our own business. Look at speeches. Africa say, no, we want to trade, we want to develop, we want all those things. Money have been coming in Africa. It's even coming 2027, 150 billion euros. Put that in your own currency. Then you see how much. Add another one, 5.5 billion from Japan, from TICAD, as a loan to African Development Bank. And another one from China and many other, other countries. But it's you who have to develop yourself. It's me who I have to develop myself. So that should be, the point of, debate. So good morning.
You must take the economic opportunity where the people are. You understand? So it's not that the people, of course, it's our responsibility, it's their responsibility, it's everyone's responsibility.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is that, let's say now our focus, as an example, and obviously, because their argument is that Africa has so much to offer to the future of the world in terms of the population, the young ones now. We are talking about the energetic ones.
Yeah.
And we are saying the reason why you have to do this kind of debt restructuring, you know, the one that you are hearing.
Yeah.
It is to help now the youth to prevent them from being incited by, you know, because you are saying when you open the corridor, many of things will go. But we were told that those things of exporting raw materials rather than exporting solution to problems, it's soon coming to an end. But we are saying it must come to an end today. You understand?
But it's coming to an end. How? How is it coming to an end if you cannot make your own toothpick? Coming to an end how? If you don't have a plan on bringing it to an end.
I understand about your own toothpick.
No. I'm just challenging you to say, yes, it should. It has been debated that way and everybody presented that and we wanted that to happen. But we have plan in place to make sure that it's coming to an end.
So if you have got plan in place.
No, do we have that?
Of course, the plan.
Do we have that in Namibia to add value to your uranium? Have
is the law that not the trade law or what this is?
No. Are we adding value to our uranium as we are speaking?
So you see, but the declaration in the moratorium.
No. Because I want to get this point out to say yes, we really wanted that, and I support everybody who say we want that. But one thing and doing it is a different thing.
It is us who are failing because this is.
Where are we failing and where do we need to improve?
Okay. Yes. Just allow me to that one because I told you already that. Take the economic opportunity where the people are.
How?
You know where the people are?
No, how?
You can use your vehicles. You can use the institution that you're talking about. You can facilitate that development at your constituency.
Okay, how is that going to be done? Because we want the solutions to say this is what we need to be done. We spoke about food security for quite some time. What are we doing about it? We spoke about value addition. What are we doing about it?
We know when you talk about logistics and transportation, and chain supply chain, and all those components that you are talking about. Now as I'm speaking, yeah. I don't know a lot of computer, the knowledge, the technology. But the young ones who are there, they might be so much exposed to digitally, kind of, just to find the machine and help. You see, when those tomatoes, onions, all these things, last week they told you already on the product they have put ban on. Okay? And those things that are here, it is for you, the leadership, the management, you yourself. Mm. You know, people, you see, you were impressed by the public-private partnership and the security cluster that came in there from that Sikongo, Commander Sikongo. Yes, ma'am. So now, for you, are you not seeing any, don't see now, for example, let me just say youth. Are you not seeing any, some of the entry points there that you can capitalize leverage on?
No, I'm seeing, but I'm talking about people who have power and also people who have economic influence.
Economic influence, we are telling you that now we can facilitate some kind of community development project, build your sports teams that can accommodate all sport codes, the access to funding, you have heard it already, it's a challenge, but it's also, they are also there.
Yeah.
I do this to some of those things. So facilitate and educate your young ones, your peers, because when we talk, we think we are politicians. I'm just telling us if I'm standing in front of my class.
Okay.
Good. Access to finance. If you have a problem of a viable and promotable business proposal, Kanzengo is there. Kanzengo Kanyuka is there. He has been challenging us for 2 months to bring up our proposal, even in Oshuambo, whatever language that you speak. Nobody brought that anything. Consultancy, Kanzengo, like Kanzengo, who has volunteered. Now you want to waste this effort and you are saying, how? What?
Thank you, David.
Right, thank you.
God bless.
Yeah, we are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. Let us look at the news of World Food Program and Nigeria. Then we can come to the diplomatic fragility. It's coming to diplomatic fragility in between the U.S. and also South Africa, because no, I did not know that Cyril Ramaphosa is also a very different, it's a very different leader. Because I don't know, but what is indicated that you know, handing over of a G20 presidency. It was done at the lower level. There was no camera. And, it was not even handed over by the minister. Just by directors within, directors of international relations and corporations. Because, South Africa said, no, we are not going to hand over, G20 presidency to a lower rank at our summit. Not even at the level of a minister. Just charged the affair. He charged the affair in diplomacy. He's not, the main head of mission. He's a second in charge. Charged the affair. So he's a second in charge. It's like a deputy ambassador. But, Ramaphosa said no. You're not going to do that. And it was handed over, yesterday. Very silent. At an office level. And you don't know if it's an administrator who handed over, what was the briefing, and the questions that we are going to ask ourselves is also that to say, what is the future of SADC economic power, that is South Africa, and also, the U.S., and what this telling us about also friendship in global affairs, because things change anytime, anywhere. And saying somebody is your strategic partner, especially in terms of trade, you don't know for how long, and things can go south any day, any time, especially to those emerging economy, particularly in the point where interest they crash with one another, and also you are not aligning with policies that expected. So let us look at the case of Nigeria and move forward. Because let's look at
In a renewed effort to tackle the rising challenge of hunger and malnutrition, the Nigerian Red Cross Society has launched a new nutrition advocacy plan designed to strengthen food security and improve community resilience nationwide. Part of the ceremony included the official appointment of Dr. Leila Usman as the new nutrition ambassador for the society.
Today, I stand before you with immense gratitude and deep sense of honor as I accept this appointment as a nutrition and goodwill ambassador of the Nigerian Red Cross Society.
I will find it very pertinent as one of the leading organizations that was created by the government of the Federation to complement the effort of governments in serving humanity. We find it very important to reach out to people and be able to mobilize resources to assist Nigerians that require assistance in terms of addressing hunger crisis.
The Secretary General, Abubakar Kende, says that the appointment is intended to deepen advocacy and create broader awareness around the escalating food crisis facing Nigeria.
As I take on this role, my vision aligns fully with the society's mission to build a healthier, hunger-free Nigeria. Together, we will work to strengthen food security, promote proper nutrition, and support initiatives that empower communities or our communities to thrive beyond crisis.
That is the point, but let us look at World Food Program.
The United Nations World Food Program says that Nigeria is facing record levels of hunger amid a spike in insurgent attacks. It warns that nearly 35 million people could go hungry next year as instability and aid cuts impact the north of the country. The WFP says it also expects at least 15,000 people in Borno State, the epicenter of the security crisis, to experience catastrophic hunger, including famine-like conditions. Rural farming communities have been hardest hit, with nearly 6 million people lacking basic food supplies in Borno, Adamawa and Yobe states. Officials say widespread attacks by the various armed groups have deterred farmers from using their land. Recent incidents include the killing of a brigadier general and the abduction of hundreds of schoolchildren. Food aid to Nigeria has massively scaled down following United States President Donald Trump's decision to gut the country's International Development Agency, USAID.
Yeah, stated that 35 million people may face severe hunger in Nigeria. That is next year, just next year, due to conflict, due to insurgency, and also due to deteriorating security, especially the side of, Bon State and also Niger State. Because, when you have people who are scared of going to work at their farm, it means that the supply of food and also the supplies of the basic nutritions is affected. And when you speak about Nigeria population, it's the most populated country, one of the most populated countries in Africa, and the country with highest population in Africa. And look at, when you speak about 35 million people who face severe hunger next year, how many times Namibian people can go in 35 people? And that is a very catastrophic thing. So before we go to the conversation for today, let's look at a short commercial break. Then we'll listen to the speech of AU Commission Chairperson. Then we look at the discussion to say at what level can we say all the states are equal, because at an international platform, even if a country has 1 million people, you have the same vote, and by international law you are supposed to be respected the same. But when you look at the future of not only G20 but also of the economy of SADC, particularly G20 handover, because next year US is in charge, and how is the relationship going to be, and also what other alternative, what will be the retaliation from the US, and also how are these things going to affect people on the ground. Let's go to a short commercial break, then we can continue.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, continuing with Early Morning Scoop. It's 4 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop. Remember that the Villager newspaper is out. The Villager newspaper is out, and make sure that you get the opportunity and also time to read and also get the content of the Villager newspaper, because don't miss out. Don't need to miss out. Don't need to miss out. And yeah. So let us look at the speech of the AU chairperson, the chairperson of AU Commission, and we can look at the conversation for today.
O centro do crescimento global,
international resources as abundant as never before. Our continent is making progress to be a key player in the different stages of the global value chain. Our role as raw material supplier only will come to an end soon. Therefore, we are calling for a more balanced trade partnerships. I'm pleading for European investments in the transformation process of our minerals on the continent. I'm calling for the lifting of any tariff or non-tariff barrier hampering the access of African products to the European market. I'm finally calling for a stronger and more viable multilateralism based on equality, respect for all nations, and advancing the common vital global interest. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, may this Luanda Summit enables us to achieve our shared vision for peace, progress, and prosperity for our peoples across the two continents. We can make this journey together for the sake of uplifting our shared humanity over selfishness and narrow-minded protectionism. I thank you. Our shared humanity over selfishness and narrow-minded protectionism. I thank you. Respect for all nations and advancing the common vital global interest. Your Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, may this Luanda Summit enables us to achieve our shared vision for peace, progress, and prosperity for our peoples across the two continents. We can make this journey together for the sake of uplifting our shared humanity over selfishness and narrow-minded protectionism. I thank you.
Yeah, that is the chairperson of AU Commission, especially when he was speaking at African Union and EU Summit, and also looking at what needs to be done, especially from the continental point of view. But yeah, that is the conversation. However, let us look at what we have on the table today, because today we are looking at diplomatic fragility, to say what will happen in a situation where your friend is no more your best friend, or that of who you were trading with also decided to change or decided to go south. Do we have a backup plan when one day, for example, South Africa herself, that we rely so much on, and we cannot speak about our economy without South Africa, when one day they decided to change their game, they decided to focus on other priorities, or they decided to increase the price of their products, what will happen to us? Especially when they also know that we depend on them so much. And are we able to stand on our own and say, okay, we'll look at Angola, we'll look at Zambia, and just for argument's sake, because what is happening now and what have happened
yesterday, especially after the US did not attend G20 summit in South Africa. And you see countries aligning with South Africa. You see the EU. You see the powerful countries also with South Africa. And you can also be able to see that there's tension which is ongoing, to that extent that even the effort of the president of South Africa to go to the US to bring up, to explain about what has been alleged as white genocide in South Africa, things did not come did not come out well. And you look at 30%, imposition of tariff on all the goods of South Africa that are entering the US market. And you also look at the end of AGOA. You look at the end of aid, and you also look at, you know, South Africa prioritizing its external trade to look at other markets. And what we think, what we look at, especially when you look ahead after G20, is that there is a possibility of retaliation, because the U.S. is a very powerful nation. It's undeniable. Either it's militarily or economic. We may hate it or we love it. That is the point. And it's still a global influence. And the world still needs it. And you cannot say because you don't agree, you are not going to work together. And that is the point. That's why you see head of state, they always move around to say, no, this country is not really our friends or not. We did what. Because at that level is that you need each other. And at that level is that you need to make sure that you find an area where we are going to work together. But handing over G20 presidency at a director level, not at the ministerial level, at a director level, not at a deputy minister level, not at the premier level, but at a director level, to say yes, we are going to show you. And this is what is happening. And in the world of diplomacy, they are indicating to say, I know both countries agreed for a low profile handover. But that is not what you do to the US. But what is the long-term impact of this diplomatic fragility? To SA, to Namibia, to SADC, and also what lesson can be learned moving forward, especially when you are heading over, the G20 presidency at that level. And also at what level do countries say we are equal? If you are treating me this way, I'm treating you this way. At what level we speak about reciprocity, to say when you give me 20% tariff, I'm also giving you 20% tariff, because that is international trade laws are also indicating, to say all the countries in the world, whether big or small, they are equal before the law. And is it the right move for South Africa to do that? Or is a diplomatic blunder? And at what level also, international trade should be used to pursue the interest of global influence? And what will happen moving forward? So those are the questions that we really need to ask ourselves, to say from presidency to just a secretary to secretary. And that is not an easy thing. It looks simple, but it's a big in South African history. And a lot of people are celebrating to say, no, South Africa, you are big. And what you did, you showed them very well. But was it really... how it should be? And also what can we learn, and what do we expect moving forward? Because nothing can go unretaliated, and it's an embarrassment to a powerful economic state. Good morning.
You are also a brigadier, né?
Come again?
Your name,
yeah,
the baptism name,
yeah,
is, you are a brigadier.
Oh,
yeah, you are a brigadier.
Okay.
And remember, is the brigadiers who are, and the brigadiers and the advocates.
Yeah.
The legal counsels, those ones, they are the ones who are targeted.
Mm.
So you are also a brigadier, and my advice and encouragement to also many other brigadiers.
Mm.
So, and you yourself,
mm-hmm.
told you that those legal counsel who are there to protect our criminal justice system and everything, those are all brigadiers.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the ones that I was always enlightening to, South Africa. So, are you getting me?
Just hold on.
Kimba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What is it? Mean baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Not.
Yes?
Yeah, let's continue.
How did you get hold of those Kevin's, whatever?
No, let's look at the conversation.
It's the same thing. When you hold the five, now we're talking about the brigadiers. I say you are also a brigadier.
Oh, okay.
So, and those ones, South Africans and advocates, they are also, were also brigadiers. That one of the brigadiers in Nigeria was also gunned down. But you don't seem to be following that thing of South Africa, ad hoc and the Mad Lang public inquiry.
No, I'm following, but let us look at the conversation for today. Let us look at the conversation of diplomatic fragility. What will happen after you head over, the presidency at the secretary level or at the director level from.
But that one was a declaration that was already agreed by all the leaders who were at the summit.
No, it was not like that.
Listen, America boycotted the first day when he boycotted the president Ramaphosa, said it is the one who is going to lose out. That was even not even today, not even during the leader summit. It's during the all those summits that were held parallel. The one, like I told you, social development summit, the energy transition, and all these other things. So now, when he mentioned America, mentioned that yes, he's not going to attend. And then Ramaphosa said, we are not going to be brought around. We are all equal. So that one was clear, and everything went on. On Friday or Saturday for the two leaders summit now, because all those dignitaries were received. And then President Ramaphosa also came in. So what I'm saying here is that the reason why Trump, actually boycotted that he thought his plan were going to be fulfilled in
Then you want to teach him a lesson?
No, listen, it's not about teaching him a lesson. Yeah. He taught himself a lesson. Nobody's teaching him a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those, the summit, G summit, G20 summit was going to coincide with the whole curse of killing the brigadiers.
I'm not getting your point.
Yeah, you will not get it.
Yeah, I'm not getting your point because I follow the ad hoc committee, I follow the Madlanga commission, but I'm not getting your
I'm
point.
Saying that,
yeah.
Remember, in the testimony of many of those people, they were brigadiers who were targeted to be killed.
So is that the point of G20? Was that a discussion of G20?
Yeah. What I'm saying is that if there was no intelligence and cautious and very work that is done to prove to the Western that South Africa, the state, is not a state captured. Of course, the infestation into the criminal justice system, you know it already. So, and because of that, Trump has been saying, no, there's genocide in South Africa. There's what?
Mm-hmm.
He was going to prove himself correct if we could not have put our security mechanism in place to make sure that our justice system was frustrated. But I thank God for the government of South Africa, the state, or whatever you call it, the institution, but that did not happen. It was going to be chaotic, just like when it started with this Zuma's daughter. I hope you are aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you.
So thank you very much, David.
All right.
Bye.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, we are looking at diplomatic fragility, and the main question that we should also ask ourselves is that when we speak about economic diversification, for example, that should not only be applied at a state level and also at an individual level to say, what if things don't go well with my supplier? Where else can I go? What if things don't go well with my customer? Where else can I go? Because with the relationship, what you see is that there will be a retaliation. There has already been economic retaliation. Every person have felt that there have been already economic retaliations, and it's up to our diplomats also to fix what need to be fixed to make sure that when it comes to bread and butter on the table, because there is this system of and which seems us to panic so much that when somebody withdraw assistance, you are no more going to survive. Because one of the things that we need to look at, just look at how many are we as Namibians, how many active Namibians do we have, and how much money go through Namibia? What projects are prioritized either by external funders? And are this project directly benefiting the people on the ground? Are this training really effective? To what extent do we have power to make decisions to say no? Instead of you advocating for something else, can you please look at this area of housing? Instead of you giving me billions of money to get into a project that I don't have skills on, can you focus on housing, for example? Can you focus on water purification? Can you focus on farming, not only at a commercial level, but also at a communal area to expand? What level of training? Because instead of giving me this, can you focus on how should I assist my people with financial access? Because at the end of the day, when somebody withdraw his trade with you,
you will not have toothpicks in your, and I'll be using toothpick maybe until we come up with that. And I'm also included in that. Until maybe somebody, withdraw. So no, I'm not going to trade with you with this one. I'm going to increase the price of toothpicks. Then you will not have restaurants and hotels with toothpicks in Namibia. And I want to see a one factory in Namibia where they are made from. And that is a point also to see what will happen post this international embarrassment. No picture, nothing. And it's also a downgrading of a global power. And maybe there will be also a point to renew those, you know, relations. And maybe it's also the right time for Africans, like our president have said, to say we should not negotiate with poverty mentality. And we should not also act like we are doing people a favor. Because everybody need Africa. Africa also need the world. But Africa should not just be like what has been happening. To say a master is the only one who is right, who can give you food and clothing. Imagine you are colonized, now you are getting food, you are getting clothing, you are getting everything, you are getting medication, we are getting everything that you use, but you have everything. What have we learned? And also, what do we need to do to make sure that we improve so much to that extent? When you sit at that level, we are not only equal on paper, but also equal on point. And I'm very impressed by, maybe by following too much on international affairs, I'm very impressed by the president of EU. The way she stand, the confidence, and also the defending of their interests. And I hope we also have better advanced African leaders at that level who can also stand and speak at that. And very clear. And to say, no, we as EU, we are not like other investor who can come and do mining and they don't do that. We also come and build in Africa and all these things. And it's very clear. And when he's putting numbers together to say we are, Africa is number one partner of EU in terms of trade, because 1/3 of exports of Africa is going to EU. But at what form? That is, at what form? Is it still at raw material level? And also spoke about infrastructure. But what will happen when there is a retaliation from the US, and what lesson can we learn from there? So that is a conversation for today. But I want to indicate to you to say around 1400 hours, I think from 1400 hours to 16, we are going to have a political analysis, especially regarding elections. We are going to have some young leaders, political analysts too in the studio, and also going to update you on what will happen, what are the expectations, what is the environment of the ongoing regional and local authority elections. And you're also going to receive updates from across different areas in Namibia. I will be speaking to a colleague in Rundu there, Anakreta, Loise Shimi from Ondangwa, and also our colleagues in the city, and who update you on what's happening, particularly regarding ongoing regional and local authority elections, and to update you what is the process, what is happening, and also what are the views of those who are on the ground. And I'll also be on the ground, and also to meet each other in the corridors of Windhoek there, to see and also exercise our democratic rights. Make sure that you also have your voting cards, and make sure that you know, you vote those who are going to represent us, and those who are going to make sure that service are delivered. And also make sure that not only vote, but also assist and advise, especially those, you know, who are going to get that responsibility. So let us look at what we have on the paper today. What is the Villager newspaper has today? On top of the Villager newspaper, on top of the Villager newspaper for the 26th of November, is that the Windhoek road maintenance backlog to cost over 2.7 billion. Over 2.7 billion. And you can expand on that, especially when it comes to, it's coming to roads in Windhoek. That is just maintenance, because you have seen what happened in Windhoek, especially during the rain season. And potholes, they don't discriminate what part of Windhoek you are, whether you are at the suburb, you are at top urban level, you are at an informal sector. when potholes comes, they don't say, no, we are only looking here. But the maintenance is cost over 2.7 billion. Go and expand that, paper by, Meno Hangala and, move on. Page three, make sure it's, Bavica University, the study of Russian as a foreign language for free. Study of Russian as a foreign language for free. I hope I should take this one also. I think I also need to be a student here. And let's go and learn Russian. And because you need to understand what the whole world is about. You need to understand foreign language because you don't only speak one language. You need to understand what other people are saying when you look at Russia Today TV. What are they saying about the world? And when you have both perspective, you'll be able also to see how do you able to make decision. Because you only need to understand, you need to understand the language so that you can be able to interact with people, understand their culture, and also don't just listen, but also understand and interact with them. Because if you understand a person's language, it's also more easier for you to relate with that person. And I think this one for free, because as Namibian, you get education for free, but you do not get time. So make sure that you access this. That is on page 3 of the Villager newspaper. And you can apply by scanning at that QR code. Just scan and you apply for that. It's free, 100% free for Namibian citizens. Go and learn Russian language. What commitment can you put if you are not able to do anything in 2025? This is now your time to shine, to make sure that be committed, learn Russian. And at least have fun. Do something that you will be proud of. Do something that you will be proud of one day. To say, when you learn a language, it's also, improve the way you think. And it's also improve your intellectual capacity. Make sure that you take that opportunity and learn. And it's a free education. When something is for free, make sure that you grab that. Because when the cost will come, you will not be complaining anymore, because this is a free ticket. It's like, we do, sometimes we don't like free things. When you get free things, you don't want them. When there's something there, you complain about the cost. But look at page 3, Velvicha University offering free Russian language. How do you speak like Russians? How do you speak Russian language? So I think this one I will take it too. I think we must be first students there. I think I also need to make sure that I take this one. So, when you look at page 4, you can also be able to see Namibia can benefit from Qatar energy sector expertise. That is Nandin Daitwa. And that is a topic. It's a topic. And it's an article by Matthias Angala. And make sure that you read that. Yes, there is also page 5, which is indicating that comply with minimum wage to get tenders. For you to get a tender, you need to comply with the minimum wage. You be able to understand that when it's coming to minimum wage, a law, and there's a directive of cabinet, and also a law that start being implemented on the 1st of January this year, is to say that there must be a limit. There must be a limit, and there is a target to say by 2027 every employed person should not be paid below 18%. Should not be paid below $18 per hour. And that is also a directive to say those who want to get tenders, you also need to look at how are you paying. Are you paying your employees? If you are in the construction sector, if you are in agriculture sector, are you paying them according to the minimum wage? So get that and also move forward. And there's an article by Anakreta Haikera, which is on page 6, to say Nekundi warns contractors against slavery on construction project. Slavery on construction project. That is a warning. from the Minister of Works and Transport say there must not be slavery on the construction project. This development are part of our national vision to improve access, accelerate economic activities, and uplift rural communities. And make sure that you get the opportunity and also read that article to say when you are in a construction, you are in construction, how do you treat those who are working? And also don't go to the level of slavery. And also make sure that you are within the law. Yeah, looking at page 7, there's an opinionated article. This opinionated article by Twamanguruka Ngidinwa that is also on celebrating growth, impact, and second chance. Make sure that you read the views and thinking of people. You read what people think. You may think the same. You may learn one thing about thinking and also how you navigate life. And looking at the page of IUM success story, it's in conversation with Frida Johannes, a proud IUM alumna and a teacher by profession in Oceania region. If you want to learn the success stories of IUM graduates of International University of Management, look at page 8 of the Villager newspaper, where it stated in conversation with Pierre Frida Johannes, a proud IUM alumna and a teacher by profession in the Oceania region. And that is an article that you need to read, because every institution is a success story, and IUM is one of those institutions with those success story. And also to ask yourself to say, what can I become when I study from IUM? And also, this is a good motivation, and also to see that where are these products, because sometimes you just see a person doing very well in life. You see a person succeeding in business. You see a person succeeding in academia. You see a person succeeding in their sector. But you don't really know where a person come from, who trained this person. But go and look and also ask, what did you study? Where are you from? How should I be like you? And also, maybe you can also be that way or better than that. So, look at page 9, you'll be able to see Vormenbroek. Vormenbroek has products in Vormenbroek, especially December is coming. If you want to buy Porana elbow macaroni, just at $69.99, and you also look at Coca-Cola 2 liter or $20, and many other products there. And get time when you read the Villager newspaper, then you can also be able to get a fair price of products, as there is advertisement always, especially when it comes to products. And when you want to feed your family, make sure that you read the Villager newspaper so that you can get contact of those organizations and companies that advertise with the Villager newspaper, and you can be able to get those price. And you can also be able to advertise with the Villager newspaper, whether it's you are a small business or you are a bigger corporation, by making sure that you speak to a marketing manager. That is me, Monica Ipinge, at 083-288-400083-288-400. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then we look at how the day is going to be, especially when it comes to elections in Namibia. And from there, do not forget that from 1400 hours until 1600 hours, we have a conversation. We are going to be in the studio with some of the political analysts, student of politics, law, and also some of people from various political parties to give their views and perspectives, especially what is happening. And also, what we expect from this regional and local authority elections. And I'll be here too, especially from the field, and also be able to engage them and also to see what is the way forward. What we can also look at, you can also send your questions through to ask them to say what happened in the past 5 years. Was it a success of regional and local authority elections, or there is areas for improvement? Blaming is good, but blaming without the solutions, you also need to be blamed for that, because you are adding to a problem to say what need to be done moving forward. What is the relationship between politics and development? How should we make sure that we accelerate development at the grassroots level? Because these leaders that are going to be voted today, these are what we call in political science the small men of politics. And when you speak about the small men of politics, does not mean they small in terms of power, but in terms of ranking. But it says the small men of politics in politics is somebody who is very powerful, because you are at the grassroots. You are the one who is dealing with people every day. You are the one who is sleeping with people. You are the one who is living with people. And you are the one who was or supposed or has to make sure that the challenges and the problems that people are facing are addressed, not only by speeches, but are addressed by practical, tangible, and sustainable projects that can also be seen by the generation to come. So let's look at a short commercial break, and you can also be able to call in the studio. Where are you going to vote? What is your perspective and what is your view on the ongoing elections? And what are the people saying in your location? What are the people saying in your area, especially when it comes to local and regional authority elections? What are they moving? What is your motivation? Who are you taking to go and vote? And what is your understanding too of voting in democracy? And also to look at what are some of the, you know, views of people, what are some of the misunderstandings that people have about elections, that we may be able to clarify and encourage those who are disencouraged to make sure that voting is what make you to be connected to your citizenship, and is also what make you a reliable shareholder in this state, because we are in a social contract. You do your part, those who we put in power, they do their part. But if you are complaining and you are not voting, it's a bit unfair, and you are also making it very difficult for those who need assistance. Because if you are not voting, it doesn't mean that people are not going to vote. People are going to vote, and they make decision for you, and you are living with that decision that you could have contributed into. Because at the end of the day, it's Namibian democracy, and we must be able also to make election fun. Take your drinks, not alcohol. Take your cool drinks, take your cooler box, take your music box, go there, socialize, meet people. And it's also a point of meeting, people, meet people and, exercise your democratic right. Don't just go there and, feel like you are being forced to do something. Be very proud to be a Namibian and make sure that, you go and vote out in numbers, especially the young people of Namibia. If you have a voting card now, don't think twice. Go and vote. Go and meet people. That is also where connections are made. That is also where you meet your wife there. Maybe you meet your husband. Maybe you meet your future business partner. Maybe you meet somebody who give you, who give you right advice. Because, where there are people is where there are opportunities. Let us go out in numbers and make sure that, when it's coming to exercising of democratic rights, we do that, and we are going to say we were there, and we made that decision. And also to pay attention to the rules and the regulation of voting. If the rules of ACN are telling you to say do not wear party colors during election, don't be stubborn. And there are people who like attention from authority, and I don't know why. There are people who like to be on media for not good reason. Why do you have to wear a party color when you are going to vote? Why do you have to go and vote when you are under the influence of alcohol? why do we have to go and vote disorganized? Why do we have to go and disturb the lines and make sure that, you know, we also, there's also an issue of care and also an issue of understanding, because there is something about, assisting people, and there's something also about, customer service and dealing with people. You know, some of our people, yes, they got training. They may be also be overwhelmed, but the way you deal with an officer, even a security guard at, a gate, it must be with respect, because a security guard is a person like you and is a very important person. But if you frustrate him, if you frustrate her, it also be very difficult for her to treat another person well. So let us get a commercial break, then you can continue.
If you've reached that stage in life where you are tired of everything, where each day is just routine, dah, yammer me oh. No, seriously, I am genuinely sorry for you, because you clearly haven't been polanified. Like, boring day at the spani. Polanify your lunch hour with a delicious Polana curry. Chewing through yet another stale sandwich. Polanify your burger with a little mac and cheese. Tired of chewing the same shandy? Polanify your munchies with air-fried Polana pasta chips. Come on, life's too short for boring. Polanify every moment with Pasta Polana, a proud product of Namib Mills.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM VI.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to ask, is the frequency of Eagle Radio yet or Shizambo?
Come again?
Shizambo, what's the frequency there?
Oh, Shizambo.
Mm.
Oh, are you listening to, when was the last time?
Radio.
When was the last time that you listened?
I just came on Saturday here. I was in the old time, I just came now and just started into now the north.
Okay, because the frequency is fluctuating out there. What you can do is to make sure that if you have a smartphone, please download the Eagle FM app for now. But we can be able to advise further, but you can download the Eagle FM app. Just go to Google or Play Store. Then you can
only in Kizambo or also in Dangwa.
Come again?
is the frequency out in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, I think I'm not really sure about that side of Ondangwa well, because sometimes it's on and sometimes it's out. But I will seek advice, especially from my colleague out there. In most cases, when you are able to reach the frequency, you can be able also to get connected. But for now, do not let me indicate you said you are at that side of Ondangwa. You can look at
90.5.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yeah. It's 10 minutes before 8 before we give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day. Before we give the mic to the big mic to unpack the day, we were speaking about elections also to say, let us respect one another. Let us make sure that we respect one another. Because if you are a director at your company, if you are the CEO at your SOE, if there is a line and the security guard is saying, go in the line, you go in the line and give that respect. And there are people that we have seen in public gathering who show out. Yes, seniority is there. Somebody is sick. Somebody is an elder. People must be assisted. But there are those who can come and say, do you know who I am? How can I know who you are if you also don't know yourself? You are asking me. Do you know who I am? And, you know, you are just even an officer. You are employed temporarily and all these things. But a person is given that responsibility. And that, and how do we relate with each other at public gathering also matters about the process. Because if that person is frustrated, and there are also people who is very difficult for them to cool down, because if you frustrate him or her, he will think everybody who is in the line is thinking the same and is chaotic. If the rules are saying do not carry a gun when you are going to vote, do not carry any weapon when you are going to, don't do that. No, this is one is my protection, is my what. Protections are there, police officers are there, everyone is there. Because those are the things that we should not be continue to be taught. Don't wear particular, do not campaign during you know, the election day. Don't do that. And the most important thing is respecting one another, and also just be tolerant. Because, you know, we work in different platforms. There are people who work with machines. There are people who work with people. And there are also people who are antisocial by nature. But you have to be tolerant to be around people. You have to be also tolerant to be around people that they are saying, and their views are not what you like. You have to be around them. And you have to be closer to a person that you don't need to like them, but you need to respect them. That's why in most cases, when you look at public gathering, you always find, different things are happening at the public gathering. Different things are happening during elections. And you can also find those who start arguing. You meet your ex there in the line and you start fighting. No, it's not the platform. The platform for today is to exercise your democratic rights and to make sure that we put people to power. Your job now is to employ them for the next 5 years in your constituency and to make sure that they deliver on the deliverables. That is your only job today. And make sure also that, elections must also be fun. It must be fun. It must not be like you are forced to do it. It must be your duty to do it. And nobody should force you. And there are also those who are saying, no, me, I'm not going to vote. You are not doing anyone a favor. You are just showing your level of understanding, which is not a good thing. Because if you are telling people that you are not going to vote, you are showing your level of understanding to people, and it's not something to get point for. And there is a tendency in Namibia, which is really not a good thing, and which is really putting us down. There's a tendency in Namibia where we think we do people a favor. Because in actual fact, if you look at it rightly,
if you know the value of voting, if you know what does it mean to vote, if you are saying, no, even if I vote, things are not going to, they are not going to assist us. Do you know that everybody in Namibia is only going to vote once today? And if you are removing your vote, it has an impact on that. And on that impact, it also doing something to you because you are not a part of the process. Take your voters' cards and make sure that, and I like, you know, my colleague, Mr. Noah Hake, he makes sure that, you know, by the morning time, even the night before that, he's already there with all his chairs and stripped there to mark his position. And if everybody could do that, and you also find those elders who say, no, man, there is no way I cannot vote. Make sure that you vote. And it's a very important thing. And we should come out in numbers, especially the youngsters, the kwaitos, the ladies and gentlemen. Make sure that we go out there. We are going in the field. We'll meet you there in Windhoek. And we'll talk and discuss way forward. And also make sure that you assist those who need assistance, especially the elders, the sick, and also those who, you know, find it very difficult. And also, you also find in the line there's a lot of people. There are also those who have medical condition. And if you see somebody with a little bit of signs of, you know, unusual signs, make sure that you inform those who give medical assistance, because I understand that everything is on standby. And yeah, just for things to work out differently. And also ask yourself these questions to say, why should I not vote? What does it mean if I do not vote? And why is it matters? Where did, you cannot even go and say, how did this process started for people to vote? Imagine if everybody's thinking like you to say, no, everybody's not going to vote. What will happen? Just everybody think like you. If you think you are right now to say you are not going to vote, what will happen if everybody say he's not going to vote? Are you going to have a lead? Who do you think is going to be there? Because people are waiting for you. Pack your things, go. Take water, and also make sure that you look at the condition also of the weather where you are, not to be surprised, and also to raise have an alternative and have food also to eat and something to drink, because sometimes it may take long, sometimes it's not, it does not take long. It depends on where you are, but colleagues, let's go and exercise our democratic rights. So do not forget that from 1400 hours, we are going to have political analysis. We are going to have guests in the studio, and we're going to interview them, and we'll continue to give you updates on what is happening in all corners of Namibia, especially during this election period. And I'm going to leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day, and make sure that you subscribe to the Villager newspaper, like and share the page of the Villager newspaper, so that like and share the Villager newspaper, so that you will not miss out when it comes to economic news, issues of governance and policies. Like and share Eagle FM page, and from me, David Shombe, I'll leave you in the good hands of Michael Shoveri to unpack the day. And maybe the last thing, it's preparation for December. Just make sure that you prepare for December in terms of mind, and also in terms of the economy, the finance. Don't stress the finance that you do not have should not stress you. You need to deal with what you have, and make sure that unnecessary spending, there's always a regrettable time. And that is January. Make sure that you handle your finance very well. Make sure that you are very prudent, and you are also very cautious about how you use your finance, because it will reflect at the national level when you complain about countries have debts. It's not countries, it's people. It's the behaviors of, it's our behaviors. When you speak about country have debt, it's the behaviors of us. Because if I cannot handle money very well, I can go to school and study anything. I can become a best accountant, best chartered accountant. If you make me a financial advisor or make me a CFO, I'll mess up everything. That's why when you want things to improve at the top, we must always start from the bottom and also look at ourselves. So, bye-bye for now. See you around and make sure that you vote.